Welcome back to this special edition of The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141, Ambush at the Baseball Park, Republican Congressman Under Attack. I'm Harold Fisher. We are examining today's mass shooting at Eugene Simpson Baseball Field in Alexandria, Virginia. My guests are D.C. Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton, Dr. Elsie Scott, political analyst and director of the Ronald Walters Leadership and Public Policy Center at Howard University. Joining us for this part of the discussion is clinical psychologist Dr. Nicole Cutts. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to John, calling from Woodbridge, Virginia. John, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening. Good evening to everyone there.
Sure, go right ahead.
I grew up in Alexandria, so this is a sad day for me. And I feel this is an act of terrorism, although it's homegrown. And it reminds me of what Malcolm X said about the chickens coming home to roost, those kind of things. Our president, and with his tone and his demeanor, is I believe is causing this trickle down effect. You know what I'm saying? Just like you see in Twitter, all the negative things that are being shot around on Twitter. A lot of people are following his tone, not only his lead, but his tone. It's very nasty. It's distasteful to the country here. Now, I saw a lot of the interviews today with the congressmen, things like that. I heard a lot of fear out of them, which motivated what they were saying. But unfortunately, fear does not bring about lasting change. Change from within comes from a different place. Now, we can get to that place, whether individually and then come together and do that. We can have some lasting change. Let's take this trouble out of politics and look at it from a worldly view. All of us are still human beings.
Yeah. John, thank you so much for sharing with us. I appreciate your passion and your input. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Congresswoman Norton, how about that?
I think John has raised the issue. It's the elephant in the room. This was not a terrorist attack. This was a political attack.
Well, what's the difference?
A huge difference. In fact, I hope we don't get caught in what attacks are all about and they're all about terrorism. This is the difference. And I say this recognizing that this man was apparently a Democrat because he was supposed to be a Bernie Sanders supporter. He was an extremist and he decided to take his politics to the point of shooting people and murdering people. The reason I think this has crossed into another sphere is that until now, we have not been dealing with Americans or others who have been engaged in political attacks. They have been terrorist attacks. They have been attacks that have been connected with Muslims or the ideology of ISIS and the rest of it. That's not what this was. So I think for Democrats and Republicans, we have got to face the fact that as far as I can tell, Harold, this is the first time I have seen a violent political attack.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is a special edition of The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141, Ambush at the Baseball Park, Republican Congressman Under Attack. Kevin, calling from Suitland. Thanks for calling, Kevin. What's on your mind?
I don't know the details surrounding the shooting or anything, but I just found it interesting. If you recall, when Trump was running for presidency with Hillary, he alluded to something that when they were talking about gun control, he alluded to the fact that if she was elected, then something may happen. So now this happens, but I just find it interesting that that's not the message that you want to send, number one, and then to make that type of comment. I just find it very interesting that this turns around and happens. And then also, I know they had voted on gun control when President Obama was in office, and they voted, against, I think, what type of arms to be sold and things like that. They both voted not to do it. So it's just interesting that this turns around and happens.
Thank you so much, Kevin. I appreciate your comment. Dr. Scott, he makes an interesting point, again, about the tone that is set. Should we be looking to the president to address this issue, or is this bigger than President Trump? And does this indeed say something about where America is?
Well, I think the president has to be the moral leader of the country. And this president has not stepped forth. This was the first statement he's made. He didn't make any statements when the young men were killed in Portland, Oregon. He didn't make any statements when the Jewish synagogues were bombed. He hasn't made any statements when a black man was killed in New York by the white men who say he wanted to kill black men. So I think there are too many incidents that have happened in his tenure that he kept silent on that now he has to start speaking out on these things if he wants to prevent these types of situations from happening in the future. And he also, the young man who was on the phone, also mentioned about gun violence. And it was interesting that one of the Congress members who was out there today at the field had introduced a bill to something dealing with getting rid of the silencers, where it would be easy to have silencers on the guns. Mm-hmm. And he was asked about that today, and he got upset with the reporter because he said it was inappropriate to be talking about it today. But I'm hoping that he's thinking about that tonight as to whether there's a need for private citizens to have silencers on guns, especially as we look at these lone wolf terrorists, the lone wolf gunmen that are out here in society.
Indeed, there are so many issues that are very appropriate to talk about this. When we're talking about terrorism, when we're talking about rethinking security, when we're talking about partisanship, bipartisanship, and even gun control, certainly all of those things are very relevant. But I want to go back to one of my guests, Dr. Nicole Cutts. She is joining this conversation. She's a clinical psychologist. Dr. Cutts, we do not know yet about the mental health of the suspect, the gunman in this case. But, you know, we do have some reports that suggest that some people have said that he was weird, that he was strange. But being weird or being strange is not against the law. And so certainly, you know, from a mental health perspective, you know, where does that, you know, where's the line between just being a strange character and a person who decides to wake up, you know, a couple of months ago or this morning and start shooting at congressmen practicing baseball?
Obviously, we can't diagnose this man based on how little we know. Mr. Hodgkinson, I was looking at his Facebook, his page and his profile, and there was nothing that was visible to us. They just recently shut it down, like a few moments ago. But there was really nothing visible that looked as if he was unhinged or violent. He was definitely passionate about his politics. You know, he supported Senator Sanders. He would consider himself a democratic socialist. But all of his comments were very measured. I would actually have to say a lot more measured than a lot of comments that I see on my friends' pages from day to day. Where we draw the line, though, of course, is when you pick up a gun and you go and you shoot someone, then we know you've crossed the line. But could somebody have predicted before? The most I've seen is he was a strange, you know, sort of irascible little man. And people, they mentioned some brushes with the law. But if you look at those, you know, that they were pretty minor. And even the one that where he was, I think he was accused of assault, those charges were dropped. So we really don't see a history with this man that would have suggested this level of violence.
Congresswoman Norton, one of the things that I found rather fascinating today when we talk about partisan or bipartisan comments. Speaker Ryan, he spoke about unity earlier today, and Minority Leader Pelosi did as well. However, she did inject some politics even in the beginning of her speech. How long will solidarity?
What are you referring to in particular?
It was earlier today, and I wish I had the soundbite. But earlier when she was speaking, she made reference to the battle between the Democrats and the Republicans in the wake of this issue. And when I spoke to you today, you mentioned it, but the way you mentioned it was considerably different from the way that the minority leader mentioned it. Is there a tone that needs to be adopted right now related to unity and solidarity on the Hill?
Harold, I believe there is. For example, I feel strongly about gun violence. The Republicans they're trying again this year to wipe out all D.C. gun laws. I would not raise the issue of guns in this context as members of Congress are trying to bring the country together. So I don't know what it is that our leader said, but let's not go back to partisanship the very day or the day after this event. Who are the leaders of the country? Well, beside the President of the United States, everybody's a member of Congress, everybody's mayor. So we have a very special responsibility to take leadership, to tone it down, and frankly, to speak out against extremism. I'm very pleased that Senator Sanders went on the Senate floor to denounce what had happened, didn't let a second go by. That was the right response. So I think we've got to put aside, how long will it last? I can't tell you how, Harold, but we got to put it aside and reflect on how we ought to proceed in the most polarized Congress in memory. Congress has not been this polarized since the Civil War. When it comes to preventing this, I do need to say this. This man was beyond ID, could never have been identified. Even if he had spoken about violence, he has a free speech right to do that unless he threatens somebody in particular or says he's going to go to the Congress or he's going to go to the White House. In a free speech society, in a democratic society, there simply is no way to take out every nut if he was nut, or every extremist if that's what he is. We've got to live with that. And having lived with it, a responsibility transfers to people who are in a leadership role, because people will be looking to how they ought to behave. I haven't gone on social media today. I was very concerned about what my friend said, or what you said, mm-hmm. about how social media lit up with extremism. Well, I was on Twitter all day trying to talk about reconciliation. So I think members of Congress need to go on. I'm going to go on tonight mm-hmm. and find out what you're saying, because it looks like leadership has been taken from us. And that the extremists on social media are already telling the country how to behave. How can we take that back? Members of Congress, POTUS, or the President of the United States, mayors, people who sit in positions where they can go to places like WHUR, go to their radio stations and their television stations and set a new tone in this polarized society.
Dr. Scott, do you think that this incident could serve as a watershed moment, a wake-up call, or are we just so desensitized to violence and to horrific incidents, the San Bernardinos, the Sandy Hooks, the Pulse nightclub incidents, that this is just going to be just another incident that happened?
I think this is a moment where we could make society change. One, because the Republicans were attacked in this situation, and Republican leaders were attacked, one of the top Republican leaders in the House. And if this does not bring about change, I think it will be too late, because Sandy Hook, some people say it, they didn't get affected by children. When Congresswoman Giffords was shot, if they were not affected by her getting shot, a woman. And so now you have one of their leaders, one of the leaders from the right side, getting attacked. If this does not bring about more than, as gentlemen who called early say, fear, a day of fear. And once they got over the fear of being shot themselves, if that does not bring about long-range change, I think we are lost. But again, I'll go back to Nikki Haley, who's the governor of South Carolina. And I had often tweeted about negatively about some of the things that she had done in North Carolina. But I think that the shooting of Clementa Pinckney, who was the minister and the legislator, I think she had an epiphany behind that.
Interesting.
Because it took a lot of guts to go and tell her legislators, we want to remove the flag. We're going to remove this Confederate flag. And so if we can have somebody in the leadership on the other side, the Republican side, to do that, and somebody who's influential, and if Ryan can speak, or Ryan could continue to speak where he is, we can bring about a change.
I'm going to take a break. When we come back, security for our federal elected officials. What's going on there? Does there need to be a change there as well? This is a special edition of the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. Ambush at the baseball park. Republican congressman under attack. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to this special edition of the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. Ambush at the baseball park. Republican congressman under attack. We continue our discussion examining today's mass shooting at Eugene Simpson Baseball Field in Alexandria, Virginia. We've had several people shot and wounded today during this incident. And the most high-profile person, obviously, the Majority Whip Steve Scalise from Louisiana. You're from Louisiana, Dr. Scott. Your thoughts about the Majority Whip. What do you know about it?
Well, from everything I hear, he's a very likable person. I think I know a couple of black politicians who think very highly of him on a personal side. Their politics are totally different, but he's the type of person that did not take the politics and just hate you. You know, he saw politics as politics and persons as persons. And I know that the head of the Congressional Black Caucus, Congressman Richmond, and him are friends. They both have a love for baseball. Mm-hmm. Scott's Congressman Richmond played, or he's very one of the champions on the Democratic side. But I think that might be that might make a difference there, because I think as a person, he's likable, and Congresswoman Norton could speak more about that in terms of how people view him on the Hill.
Yeah, you see him on the Hill. You've interacted with him. What's he like?
He's a good old boy, mm-hmm. which is what you think of these Southern boys. Frankly, he gets a lot of his credibility for me from Cedric Richmond, who is the chair of our Congressional Black Caucus these days. And I have seen Cedric defend Scalise based on their personal relationship, which they bring out of Louisiana politics. Seems to me that one of the most important things that happened is that Steve Scalise and Cedric Richmond could go to the floor together to speak about their long-standing relationship, which I think a lot of members don't even know about. And that act, I think, would get not only members' attention, but attention of the Congress, since Scalise was in the leadership. And I have to say this. I wonder if Scalise was targeted. Mm-hmm. He brought the Capitol Police, the heroes of this event. But I don't think it was any accident that this shooter seemed to look for Scalise. He asked about only, you know, is this a Republican or a Democratic event?
That's the reporting, that he did approach one of the a congressman who happened to be there at the time and who left shortly afterwards to get to the Hill to deal with the business of the day. But he was asked, are these Democrats or Republicans? And he said they were Republicans. And then minutes later, that's when the shots rang out.
And I heard that Scalise was the first person he shot. I don't know how true that is.
Well, yeah. But even if it was, I'm sorry he's dead for a lot of reasons, but we need to know whether he was aiming at Scalise. Because when he asked, is this a Republican or Democratic event, that suggests that he didn't target Scalise. and that he was targeting Republicans. That's why what the FBI is doing now is so important, since we can get a handle on this first political effect, the political attack, as far as I'm concerned. Now, very important, Harold, for me to say that this was a non-official event.
Right.
So it wasn't entitled to the protection of the Capitol Police. Now, you can get Capitol Police protection. If I were to call and said I got a threat, they would be at my front door and they would be protecting me. But that's on a one-on-one basis. So I've been thinking about this because I think the last thing members of Congress should be doing is to say, we need protection. All of us need protection. You would like the president. On the contrary, one of the matters I'd like to see investigated is whether when a certain number of members of Congress are together, whether the Capitol Police, whether or not the leadership is there, ought to be there. Now, that must have been more than a dozen.
Two dozen, nearly 30 or so. And I think that's the thing that is so disconcerting, whether the majority whip was there or not. Let's say he wasn't there. But if you have 30 members of Congress, whether they're Republicans, whether they're Democrats, whether they are both, and they're out in the public, I just find that really, I think it's something that needs to be looked at.
Well, it used to be an unwritten rule. When I was at the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, whenever we had 10 members, we requested Capitol Police.
Well, you had to have requested it. Whenever you requested it, you can get it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are not enough Capitol Police to cover us all. But there are Capitol Police who will come out and help you. They will do all kinds of investigations if you've been threatened. But Congress needs to look at what the standard should be. Should it be continue to be one-on-one? Or if the Congressional Black Caucus asks for it, that's how you do it. That's already done. What about this atmosphere necessitates added protection of members of Congress, and how many should there have to be to afford that protection? Because it's the taxpayers of the United States that are paying for it.
But on the other hand, let's look at, again, the climate that we're in. Let's take it back to Gabby Giffords. She was in her home state. She was at a public event. You do public events all the time. You are out there talking to your constituents, the people who vote for you. And Gabby Giffords was shot at her public event. I know. So what happens when you decide to hold a brown bag lunch at a recreation center to talk about, you know, whatever folks want to talk about in the district? Do you have police there? Do you have Capitol Police there? If you're just going there to talk to the folks that you're serving.
At my own risk, as it should be. Unless there's a threat to me, I better not call the Capitol Police, who may have more important things to do. Say, I'm afraid. Why don't you come here? For ordinary events, members are not in danger. Members are not at risk. We are not at risk from our own constituents or people who we live with every day. And we need to pound that home so constituents don't come up to me when I go in the street tomorrow and say, Congresswoman, you all right? Do you need some protection? I need to tell them I don't need any protection. I'm out walking in parades. People come up to me. They hug me. I'm not going to stop hugging people because of something that happened. So let's not change the way the country and members of Congress operate toward their own constituents because of this event, which I think is very atypical, Harold.
Now, for you, because you remain popular in the district and well supported. But as we have seen, when members of the House and the Senate, they go back to their own districts, and I'm talking about over the past couple of years, there has been uproar, there has been outrage. And some of your colleagues on the Hill have canceled or refused to hold these public events because they don't want the visceral pushback that they've received, and we've seen them on TV. So perhaps at least in those particular cases, if you think things are going to get a little rough, a little rowdy, maybe they should. You think, Dr. Scott?
Yeah, well, one congressman today was asked about whether they should be getting more security, and he answered very similar to Congresswoman Norton, said that this is not the time or the place to be talking about adding money to the budget to give every congressman security. And I think that, you know, we make people, we come back to this fear notion. If we have all the congressmen members afraid to go to their constituents, afraid to go to town hall, or they're using it as an excuse not to have a town hall because they're afraid of what might happen. I think this country's in, that's not where we want the country to be going.
Yeah, I do want to say, I want to congratulate and commend my Republican colleagues because they are the ones that have been taking it because of what they're trying to do to health care. And many of them stood right up there in front of boisterous crowds. Capitol Police should not have to go out to California for somebody's town meeting. But local police need to come, and I believe they have been at
almost all these events. Mm-hmm. I'm running out of time, but you know, I want you to have Congresswoman Norton the final word. What have we learned from today?
I must tell you, I only began to think because of our conversation, Harold, about this notion of having Scalise, who of course is in the hospital now, and Cedric go to the floor together. But guess what? I'm going to call up Cedric when I get to the Congress tomorrow and say that he's in a very special position. Scalise isn't here yet. But if he were to announce that he's going to the hospital to see Steve Scalise and to suggest to him that perhaps they can do something together to help bring the country together, so I think some of us are in a better position than others. And everybody is divided. But this is a moment. Let's not let this moment pass from us.
Well said. I want to thank you, D.C. Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton, for coming in and sharing with us on this really historic and very important day. I appreciate your input. Also, Dr. Elsie Scott. And we also want to thank Dr. Nicole Cutts and Dr. Tyrone Powers for their expertise and their participation in this program. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, June 14th. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisher, WHUR, or Daily Drum, WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR.